Hello, my name is Isaiah. I am 18 years old, and today is March 25th, and I'm speaking with Olivia, who is one of my closest friends, and we're recording this interview at Rutgers University in New Jersey. Hey, Olivia, would you like to tell us more about yourself?
Hi, my name is Olivia. I'm a student at the Honors College in Rutgers, New Brunswick. I'm part of the Douglas Residential College here in the Honors College, so I live in the 3 South Wing. I'm studying political science and English in school, hoping to go on to law school eventually. I would aspire to go to a tier one law school. Ideally, after law school, I will go on to work in intellectual property law or corporate law. And then once I'm financially secure and have paid off all of my loans and student debt, I would ideally like to enter civil rights law, family law, or something of that nature, in which you are working more closely and more personally with people and more directly seeing the good of what you're doing, and then potentially enter politics or some kind of nonprofit field after that. At Rutgers, I'm involved with PD Green Tutoring, in which you go to correctional facilities and tutor those who are incarcerated in subjects such as math and English to help them eventually obtain their GED or a high school diploma or something equivalent. I'm also involved with the Collaborative Mentoring Center, in which I go to New Brunswick Middle School and tutor typically underprivileged minority children through the AVID tutoring program, which targets students who are typically they could very easily go one way or another with their academics, and they typically come from challenged homes. Particularly in New Brunswick, we see Hispanic students and immigrant students that are in these programs. I'm also involved with the National Black Law Students Association here at Rutgers. I'm on the e-board of that group. I serve as a freshman delegate, and that group just kind of works to help uplift minority pre-law students, give them resources, and eventually help them to get into law school.
Wow, you have many aspirations for someone so young. So, to bounce off of that point, can you tell me about someone who had a big influence on your life?
So the first person I would say that had a big influence on my life is, of course, my mom. She's a very good story of humble beginnings and working your way up. She had me when she was relatively young. She still hadn't completed college, and she was actually in school on a soccer scholarship, so she had to give that up in order to have me. Once she had me, she was a single mother for a while, and we lived with her parents, so she was kind of struggling financially and had to figure out what she was going to do with her life. So then she went on to a community college nearby, got her nursing degree, and started to work day shifts at the time. So she would watch me at night and then be going to school and work during the daytime. And my grandmother would watch me during the daytime while she would just help out my mom with in between times. Now my mom is very successful. She serves as serves as a manager of a rehab facility. She's able to provide for a family of 6, her and my stepfather. And I think being alive to watch her learn and grow through those times that many children don't get the opportunity to see their mother do was definitely something that I'm very grateful for, because I was able to learn the importance of committing yourself to your family and to doing what you have to do to be successful, no matter what other distractions there are or what other people your age might be doing.
Great. So would you tell me about some of the most important lessons that person taught you?
The first lesson I would say, especially now that I'm in college, that my mom taught me is that you have to keep your family close, and that those are the people that you're really doing what you're doing for. Being nearly 2 hours from home, it's kind of difficult to like keep up with what's going on in my family's daily lives anymore, but it's definitely a big motivation for me, hoping to eventually make sure that my mom doesn't have to work or that she can retire when she wants to, and that my siblings won't be stressed with education debt and things like that. That was a good question. She's also She also always, I would say one thing she's always said to me since I was little is that everything happens for a reason. And regardless of if you think there's like a greater power or there's a God, whatever you think there might be guiding the universe, I think that's a really good idea to rely on, because it kind of helps you rationalize any bad things that might happen or any good things that happen. And it keeps you humble in a way, because it reminds you that there's a greater reason for why things are happening. It's not just to serve your happiness in that moment. And I think she's also taught me the importance of just trying to wake up and start every day as a new day and being positive, because you don't know when your last day will be or what struggles you'll be going through in the future. So you have to just enjoy the moment now and be thankful for what you have in the moment.
Great. So can you actually like describe one of your happiest moments in your life?
One of my happiest memories is probably when I first got a college acceptance. I didn't end up going to the school that it was from, but it was just a very satisfying moment, because it was nice to see that all I'd been doing in high school was actually going to pay off eventually. I actually hadn't expected to get any kind of scholarships or anything, because I didn't really know where I stood academically or how I compared to others. But my mom was actually with me when I learned that I'd received a full ride scholarship to the school that she had went to complete her returning degree when she went to get her master's degree. And so that was a very exciting moment. It was definitely less about the school that it was to and more about the fact that things were paying off. Following, I wouldn't say that college acceptances got less exciting, but I guess they were less of a surprise, but all were very much enjoyed nonetheless. I would say the most satisfying part of college acceptances in general was honestly more about seeing my mom happy than myself, because she, you know, a mom only wants the best for her kids, so it's good to see that she's gonna be able to have that.
Great. So what are you proudest of, and why does it make you feel proud?
I am most proud of becoming comfortable with myself and learning to fully love myself for who I am and what I'm worth. I think this is something that everyone definitely has to achieve at some point in their life, to feel fully satisfied with where they are and what they're doing. And for me, it was just kind of learning that I have to set my own limits for myself. I have to know what I can and can't do, and when I'm doing, like, when I'm trying to do too much, when I'm trying to balance too many things. I think with that also comes becoming comfortable with your looks and your appearance, which is definitely something a lot of middle schoolers and high schoolers go through. And that's probably the last piece for me of learning to love myself. I think another part of it is learning to be comfortable with yourself alone and not having to rely on others to bring happiness into your life. I think to some extent you have to be let down by others, or just kind of learn in your own way that you're going to be your number one supporter and that you'll be there for yourself when others might not necessarily be. I think that it's something worth being proud of, because it's something that you can bring with you throughout your whole life. It's not, although academic success or extracurricular success, anything in those fields is very great and definitely something to be proud of, I think learning to love yourself is the thing you should be most proud of, because that's something that no matter what situation you find yourself in, whether you're in the top of your class or at the bottom, no matter what you're doing, you're going to need, because you're the only one that's really going to be there for you throughout the whole thing, and you got to be doing this for yourself to some extent too. And this makes me feel proud, because it is such a journey to learn to fully embrace who you are and to love who you are. And I think everyone probably continues to doubt themselves and go through things like that throughout their whole life. But it's good to know that just that you got your own back.
I think self-acceptance is a great thing, but to go on to that, how would you like to be remembered, you know, as a person?
I would like to be remembered as someone who genuinely cared about people that they met. One of my philosophies in life is that you should go into most situations trying to love everyone that you can and trying to see the good in them. And I think that that's important because you, as they say, you never really know what someone's going through. And you never know if you could be their only friend or like the person that made a difference in their day. So that's definitely just something important to do for fellow human beings. I don't want to necessarily be remembered as just nice because, you know, there's a lot of nice guys out there. But I think specifically, even if it's just by one person, as someone who was especially nice to them or went out of their way to do something kind or just remembered something small that they said that other people wouldn't pay attention to, I think that's the important stuff in life. And I would hope also to be remembered as someone who was able to remain true to the goals they started out with or the reasons that they got into doing what they're doing, regardless of how successful I am. I would definitely like to be remembered as someone who was in it for the right reasons. And yeah.
Cool. So if this was to be our very last conversation, is there anything you'd want to say to me?
If we were never to speak again, if this was going to be our last conversation, I would begin by telling you to keep doing you. You gotta do what's best for you, you know? Don't let anybody get in your way of that. You gotta achieve your goals and make sure that you get what you gotta get done. You gotta be out here for your number one. Your number one's gotta be yourself. And that's what it's all about. And I think I would also say to and I would conclude by saying just genuinely have a good life. I wish you nothing but the best, and may success find you in all corners that you look.
Great. Love the positivity, but with positivity, there comes obviously negativity. So when in life have you felt most alone?
I felt most alone when I was studying for AP tests back in high school. No one in my family had ever really taken AP tests or anything like that. I don't know if it's because they're a relatively new thing or that's just not, I don't think they actually are. I think that's just not, you know, not the kind of educational routes my family really took. It wasn't a feeling of sheer loneliness so much as, like, I'm not the type to really sit alone and do my own thing and separate myself from people like that. But if I want to do well on AP tests, I really had to just go about my business myself, ignore other distractions. And that does, I think, at least for me, that gets very boring. And that can get in your head because you're just sitting there alone. And especially, like, none of my friends were into APs or academics to that extent. So none of them really, like, felt the stress of all the AP tests. And, for example, my AP Latin class only had about 10 people. So just for things like that, no one can really relate to what you're studying or like all the work that you have to do. And I think that's probably true of most successes you go through in life. I think in a lot of them, you have to be alone to get to the top. And that's okay. That's something I'm still working on learning, that, you know, you gotta be your own like best friend. You gotta be your own person. And yeah, not everyone's gonna be able to relate to the struggles you're going through, but it's always better to go through those things that'll take you to success in silence so that everyone's surprised when you come out on top.
So with that, do you have any regrets, you know, whether it's intense studying of APs or just anything you just have strong regrets about or for? by any chance?
In life or just with APs?
In life in general. It could be about APs, it could be about school, it could be something different.
In terms of APs, I don't necessarily have any regrets, or in terms of making, I guess the bigger picture there is making sacrifices, giving up certain things for other things, and with those, I don't have any regrets. Although those did kind of come up at the end of senior year, so while the rest of my friends were able to, like, hang out after school and do things like that, I was up there studying. But ultimately, I think it's all worth it if it's leading to the future that I want. In terms of my whole life, I would say that my only regrets lie in things that, like, I did not say or did not do. I don't regret anything I've done or said, because in the moment, I definitely, like, felt like doing those things or felt like saying those things, and those were the momentary truths, and no one should take away your truth from you. My regrets, yeah, I would just say the only solution to those is pretty much to just say what you're thinking, do exactly what you want to do, because you never know, like, what's going to happen next, so you gotta tell people that are important to you that they're important to you. You gotta make sure you do what you want to do while you still have the opportunity to, and especially in college, I think that's important, as these are some of the last years that a lot of us will still be able to kind of be in the range of childhood without having all of the responsibilities of the world on us, and you have to make the most of those times while you have them, as they are kind of running away and running low, and they'll almost be done. I don't know if this is so much a regret, but I think at certain times I do wish that time could slow down just so I could go through things slower, like with college, because sometimes, you know, you're trying to balance your social life and, like, academics, exercising, working out, staying healthy, extracurriculars. And it's not so much a regret, because it is ultimately leading to success, but it would be nice to be able to go out and, like, do more fun things sometimes instead of giving up studying, or instead of allotting so much time in advance to study when I could be doing other things.
So, wow, you seem to have, like, a pretty mature mindset, even in high school. So, what did you think your life would be like when you were older? Like, once you grow up, do you think you'd be different? Will your habits change or anything?
What do I think it'll be like right now when I'm older?
Like, in, like, say, 10 years or 20 years or so. You think you'd be different, more mature?
So, in 10 or 20 years, I kind of think that people generally stay the same. You're kind of the same person that you were. You're born who you're meant to be. This isn't to say that bad people, because I don't really believe anyone is brought into this earth bad, or that any bad person per se exists. But that isn't to say that bad people can't change their ways. But I think most of us come into this world how we're going to leave it, generally. I'll probably still have the same kind of thoughts. Hopefully, the world doesn't make me any more cynical. I don't think that it will. Of course, my day-to-day life is going to change. Right now, I'm just a student, so I really have it relatively easy. I just have classes every day, go to my extracurriculars. Like, I'm very enabled to focus on the moment right now and what's happening to me in the moment and what seems to be the biggest thing. Whereas I think in the future, I'm definitely going to have to look at the bigger picture more often. And I'm going to have to focus on more people other than myself once I'm, like, in a steady relationship or having children, things like that. I think hopefully I'll be better educated, as I'll have attended law school and hopefully have a stable job. And I'm excited to see how being in a workplace really plays out as a real employee rather than as an intern, or in like I've only really dealt with babysitting and smaller jobs like that, so how it'll compare and just how that kind of affects your life and how your home life and the workplace life will come together, how they'll combine. And I'm always interested to see, like, if I'll keep in touch with the friends that I am in touch with now, or high school friends who I'll, like, rekindle relationships with, who I'll see again, and things like that, because everyone does go through different phases of life at different times, and we're all at such different maturity points, so it's very interesting to see who you'll run into again later on. In 10 to 20 years, I only hope to feel very satisfied with all that I'm doing, and to know that my heart is still in the right place with what I'm doing. There's a legal philosopher whose name is skipping my mind at the moment. I want to say Williams, something like that, who his whole philosophy kind of lies on the idea that law school is made to make law school students cynical, because they come in with this idea of, I want to work in law to help change the world, to help make the world a better place for people who the law isn't helping. They kind of want to be the good guys, and the point of law school is to show you that law is the greater system at hand, and that you are going to be its servant regardless, and so you have to work with it. Don't focus on changing it so much as learning how to run it, and how to, not even how to manipulate it to work with you, but just to kind of get through it, to get your profit and to get your success. And I really hope that that doesn't happen to me, and that if it does, I am able to come back to the mindset that I'm in now about it, where I ultimately want to go to do the right things and to help people who need someone, especially like minorities or people who are typically disadvantaged, who need someone who looks like them in the field of law. And yeah, I just hope that I'm able to keep my heart and mind in the right place, and to stay in touch with why I wanted to begin whatever I'm doing then in that moment, that I'm satisfied with all the decisions I made up to that point.
So in contrast to how you think yourself to be like at an older age, how was your childhood like? You think that shaped you to be the way you are now?
Okay. So my childhood was definitely a good time. One thing that my mom always made sure of, and that my grandparents always made sure of, was that I was never aware of any struggles that our family was going through, whether they were financial or anything like that. And I'm definitely very fortunate to have had that experience, and that they were able to always have me believing that there would be no reason for me to live a life less than what I wanted. And when I think back on my childhood, I can't recall many negative moments, so I'm definitely very lucky to have had that, because I know most people haven't. I'm very glad that in my childhood that I grew up with such strong female influences around me. I was raised by my mother, and we lived in the house with her mother, and her father was there as well, and my aunt was always very close to us, and I got to watch my mom and my aunt kind of grow and learn as they were still kind of in their college years, and just had, like, it was cool to get to watch them kind of grow up and picture that being me one day. And during my childhood, I lived in Browns Mills in Pemberton for the first 4, 5, 6 years, and I've been lucky to be able to keep close with people that I knew from those towns, and to keep in touch with those towns through volunteerism that I've done. And I'm very glad to have first lived there and then moved to where I live now, which is in Chatsworth. It's a smaller town in South Jersey. And I'm glad to have lived there, because although it's a economically disadvantaged area, and now they have a lot of struggles with violence and crime and things of that nature, it definitely helped me to learn about the importance of diversity, especially in school. There were a lot of children from a lot of different cultures, races, ethnicities in my classes, so that was definitely a good experience, as that's helped to shape my political opinions and just general opinions on people today, and I think it's helped to make me very open-minded in that regard. Additionally, I'm glad that I was able to live there, because I was able to see kind of the upside of down and the downside of up, seeing people that were very financially disadvantaged still going about their daily lives, still doing things that all the rest of us were doing, because that's what you have to do. And on the other hand, once I moved to where I live now, I've been able to see people that are very, very financially successful and very financially secure. and seeing how they live in contrast was just something that a lot of people don't get the opportunity to do. And especially being able to see my mom work so hard to get me out of that neighborhood and moved into where we are now, so that I could be in a better school system, be around people who might be better influences and things like that. That's definitely an experience many kids don't have. And I was very aware that that was happening at the time, but I never knew how difficult things were or what my family might have been going through. Any small struggle I was never aware of. So I'm very lucky to have lived such a relatively shielded childhood, but also to have still been able to see what was going on in the world around me, just not through a lens that it would personally affect me so much.
So did you consider yourself to be happy as a child? Was your childhood mainly happy, or were there hardships that sort of like eclipsed that happiness?
Oh, I was definitely happy as a child. My daily routine, pretty much when I was younger, consisted of going to preschool or to school, and then I would come home, and the second I got home, I would ask my grandma to take me on a walk, and she never said no, of course. So that I think that just goes to show that even after like a long day of work, someone was there to welcome me after school, to hear about my day, to ask me questions, and to kind of play with me or do whatever I wanted to do. That was really good. I was, up until the age of, I gotta do some subtraction here. Okay, up until the age of 6, I was an only child. My sister was born when I was 6, my youngest sister. And I think that had a big impact on how I grew up, because I was never forced to like share things with another child. And I'm definitely, I would say I'm just protective of my things today, as I've come to live with more of my siblings, as my mom had 2 more children after my sister. But as a child, it was definitely very nice to not have to share things like toys or things like that. I always enjoyed like hanging out with the kids that lived around me, and regardless of like how dangerous the neighborhood might have been becoming, it was, my house was always like a nice place to go hang out. And even once we moved to my new house, people have always been welcome over, so that was I appreciate that my mom did that, because it always gave me a safe space to hang out and have fun. There's very few unhappy moments I can remember, and even those, like, they seem very negligible in the story of my life.
So what image would you want to project to your younger siblings?
I would like for them to, I guess for me, the most important thing that they can learn from me right now is that hard work pays off. I was always very lucky that school was never all that difficult for me, and definitely is seeing them go through school and other people go through school, I'm just learning that people take on education in different ways and people learn differently. But I hope that they would be able to see that regardless of how you learn or regardless of how difficult it is, you still need to work hard to get to where you want to be. And I would like for them to see from me that it's important to stand up for what you believe in. Recently, I'd say within the last 2 or 3 years, politics really became important to me. And that's kind of when I decided that I want to study political science as well. And especially in high school, as I lived in a very conservative area during that time, I was often one of the few people that felt the way I did about political issues. And although that was sometimes very controversial, I still stood by what I thought, regardless of what the consequences would have been if I felt that it was right. And as one of the people that I most admire, oh my gosh, all the names are skipping from my head. His first name is John. Oh, John Lewis, the senator of Georgia, once said, in his mugshot when he had been arrested, he said, "I'm smiling because I'm on the right side of history." And I hope that they're able to see that it's very important that you choose to be on the right side of things, regardless of what others are saying.
Perfect. So how would you describe each bond with each of your individual siblings? Like, are you closer to some? Do some like you more than the others? Is there jealousy? Can you elaborate on that?
Okay, so I have three siblings. I have two younger sisters and one younger brother. They are now 13, 11, and soon to be 9. So to begin, my sister that's closest in age to me, Lily, we've always been quite different people. She definitely sees the world a lot differently than I do. I would say she's just naturally more cynical, slightly more negative, and she definitely has a... She definitely looks at the smaller picture more so than I do. And that can serve to create some distance between us because we just don't see things the same way, and that can make it difficult to agree on, like, the smallest things. But she's always been a very empathetic person. She definitely feels the second something is wrong with someone and notices the second someone's going through something, and that definitely makes her a good sister. We have one of those relationships where you don't have to say very much. Like, we'll argue about something, but then as soon as we decide that we're on the same side again, it's like we've made up for it. I would say of all of my siblings, they're definitely not the type of people that I would typically surround myself with, but I still enjoy their company very much, and I think that's what family is all about. Of my next sister, Eliza, she's the one that is 11 years old. She's nearly the polar opposite of Lily, and she is very positive about everything, so much so to the extent that it can become incredibly annoying if you are just trying to be in your feelings about something for a moment. And she's very... her positivity is definitely, it's nice to have around in certain situations, and she's very loyal, which is a very good trait. She will side with you if she truly thinks that what you're saying is right, or what you're doing is right, or if you were loyal to her before, which is, of course, always important in sibling arguments. And she's definitely loftier than all of us. I would say that she's the one that has her head in the clouds. And it's definitely important to have someone like that to remind you that things aren't as serious as they seem. So then my youngest sibling is my brother, Benjamin. And he's only 8, so I guess he still has a lot of character to develop, as do the rest of them. I wouldn't say we're the closest of my siblings. I don't think I'm necessarily closer with any of them, with one of them than another. But we definitely think most similarly and have the most similar interests. He's very easy to get along with. He kind of goes with the flow, and I think that kind of comes from having three older sisters, so he doesn't really have much of a choice in much of what we do often. He's definitely the sibling that I see kind of going off and doing their own thing the most once we're all older and things like that. But similar to my sisters, I think that it's definitely going to be instilled in him that family is very important. And hopefully that will be a value that he holds on to.
So I remember you telling me that you went to Disney World over winter break, I believe. Do you think that brought your bonds closer between your family, at least your immediate family?
So I would say that vacations always make you appreciative of home, because the last few days you kind of get tired of everyone that you're with and what you're doing. And that definitely applied. We were all kind of tired of each other towards the end. But I think any trip or just any time allowed to spend with family definitely does make you closer with them. And it had been a while since I'd gotten to spend that much time with my family, because it was during winter break and I don't get to go home very often during the semester. So that was really nice. And compared to the last time that we went on our family vacation to Disney World, I think it was 2 years before, my siblings had just, like, grown a lot more, so it was a lot easier to decide on what we were doing and to go separate ways if we wanted to do different things. So that was really nice. I think just kind of naturally as they get older, we're all going to grow closer and to find different things that we enjoy about each other and different things that we don't. So yeah, I think that's inevitably going to happen with everything that we do.
So to conclude this interview, Olivia, I want to ask you if there's anything you're truly passionate about, like entirely passionate about, that can basically cover your life story.
So especially as I've come to college, I've learned that I'm very passionate about the reform of the criminal justice system and overall just racial issues in politics in America. On the criminal justice system, as I mentioned earlier, I've had the wonderful opportunity to be a part of PD Green tutoring here at Rutgers, in which we go to youth correctional facilities and or just correctional facilities in general, and are able to tutor students who may not have graduated from high school or who just may not have had similar opportunities in order to attain their GED or their high school diploma or an equivalent. And I've just become very passionate about this issue because I've truly, as I've done more research, I've been able to see how the criminal justice system works in ways that targets certain people more so than others. And although I would not at all say that those people are always not necessarily guilty of what they've done, they've definitely been set up by a system, not by a certain person, but by a system, to act in the ways that they have to. And as different people are going to do what they have to survive, I think that we need to definitely re-examine the criminal justice system as a whole, and that we need to re-examine the way that we treat people who are in it and the way that we do punishment, if punishment is even still should even be a modern tool in America. On race relations overall in politics, nearly every day I find that I'm more interested in it. I've had the opportunity to take classes on race relations both in my English major, actually, and in my political science major, and I'm hoping to focus on race relations in my political science major and in minority or black literature in my English major. And I'm also hoping to do research next semester on minority and race relations in America. I've become very passionate about this issue because, similar to the criminal justice system, I've been able to see that the system seems to work in ways that enable some to succeed and not even necessarily holds down others, but just doesn't give them the same opportunities. And I think that's most applicable to race, and secondly, very closely to socioeconomic status. I think race relations are very important to me as well, because I can think of times when it definitely would have been helpful to see more people that looked like like me and like people around me in positions that we would consider successful today. And that's not something you always frequently see. So I think allowing children to see that they can be successful by showing them models doing the same thing is very important. And I also think that we will never truly be a free nation until race is not one of the most decisive factors in someone's success, and that's definitely something that needs to be tended to.
So to wrap everything up, if there's one quote, one life quote that can completely encapsulate your, basically your aim for life and your future, what would it be?
Every day I listen to this song, and the words are, "There's no such thing as a life that's better than yours." And I really think that's the truth, because you gotta appreciate what you have. You gotta know that no matter what you're going through or no matter what's happening in your life, you're really living the life that's meant for you. And that's truly what matters. There's never gonna be a life that's better than yours for you. And that's what you really need to know.
every day you just got to wake up and be thankful for what you have, because there's a reason that you have it.
Perfect. All right, Olivia, thanks for having me. I really appreciate the discussion we had. It was great interviewing you. I see our bond growing closer. You're very insightful, introspective, very conscious of everything. And yeah, thanks for being such a great friend.